I'd like to start by saying how thankful I am to be here with y'all tonight. I'm grateful for all the wonderful messages that I've been able to hear this week.
Amen.
They've done me a lot of good. I hope in some small way tonight I might bring the Lord the honor and the glory that He deserves.
Yeah.
As Brother Miller made mention, He's been good to us, and especially to me. I really need y'all's prayer tonight because I don't want to do anything short for Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because He most certainly has gone the extra mile for all of us.
Amen.
And especially myself. Those of you who have your Bibles handy, please turn with me to the book of Revelation. We'll begin our reading at chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Yeah.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works.
Yeah.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to read that one more time. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I'd like to stop my reading there. And I would like to try and put out the things the Lord's laid on my heart. Conveniently enough, verses 11 through 15 in this King James Version of the Bible that I happen to have on hand. It refers to these five scriptures, as the final judgment day. Now, Revelation, we know, is a book of prophecy. It is an account of future happenings that will take place.
Man.
These things are going to happen. And there is coming a final judgment day.
Amen.
Now, you know, we have judges here in this world. The office of a judge is one that is appointed typically by election and presides over a court. And he decides in his court, by the law, what is right and what is wrong. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever been in front of a judge, but I'm going to tell a story on myself tonight, one I'm not so proud of. And I'm not up here to preach a sermon about myself. Lord knows I'm not a good topic. But I do believe that the events that take place in our lives, sometimes they can be used for a greater good.
Amen.
Many years ago, I found myself in Judge Brent Potter's courtroom. A lot of y'all may very well know Brent. And he has a reputation amongst law enforcement of being a very fair and by-the-book kind of judge. Now, when you're 19 years old, and you hadn't spent much time in court, and you go before a man with the reputation of Brent Potter, it's rather intimidating. I was very uneasy walking into the courtroom that morning and sitting down and awaiting my turn to go before this man of great authority. Now, what I had done wrong, and it was wrong, I had got caught with alcohol, and I wasn't 21. Possession of alcohol by a minor. Now, fortunately, or unfortunately for me, however you want to look at it, Brent happened to be friends with my mother. And when I went before Brent Potter, he was right quick to tell me, "Mr. Rossi, I'll have you know that I knew your mother. And your mother would not approve of what you're doing." He said, "Your mother wouldn't appreciate this at all." He made me feel that big.
Yeah.
He made me feel that big. Now, when I walked in there, the last thing I was expecting was a talking to like that. I had known at some point in my life that they knew each other, but I didn't know to what extent or how well. I wasn't necessarily afraid of going to jail because it wasn't necessarily what would be considered a jailable offense. But for a 19-year-old kid to go before someone with great authority, who certainly had the authority to put me up for a little while if he'd wanted to, it was intimidating. And by the time I walked out of that courtroom and received my community service and my 2 years probation, I felt every bit of that bit. Now, he's a good guy. He's a man of great authority. I was scared to death to be in front of him. How much greater fear? How much greater fear should we have standing before God Almighty?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm a saved man. Lord spoke peace to my heart when I was a young man on the altar at Fairview. I'm still scared to stand before him because I'm going to give an account of everything in my life that I've done wrong. It's not going to be fun to bring that up. It's going to be rather embarrassing for me, probably on a significantly larger scale than it was for me that day in court. And we're talking about a perfect judge. One of far greater authority.
Amen.
One with the kind of authority that the winds obey his very voice. A judge who can speak a whole universe into existence.
Amen.
People, that's authority.
Amen.
That's great authority.
Amen.
you know, there's just never been anything else comparable to him.
That's right.
But that was a great fear for me that day, to stand before Brent Potter and have to face the music, if you will, for my wrongdoings. It was a very shameful thing. But you know, someday when this final judgment happens, now it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter whether the world ends the way the Bible says it will, because that's certainly coming. Or if you die long before then, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to stand before God.
Amen.
And give this account. Now, I'm going to start talking about some things, Lord willing, that might make people uncomfortable. It's not a very pleasant topic to talk about. But, you know, people reach the age of accountability at different ages.
Yeah.
You know, some people become accountable at 8 years old. I've heard of even younger. But 8, 9, 10, 12 is a very common age for young people to realize the difference between good and evil and that they're lost and separated from God. And I'm going to tell you something else. And this is a very sad fact, but it's one that we need to face and one that we have to deal with. Death and God are no respecter of person, and they're no respecter of age.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to tell you something. To me, it's a real tragedy that some very young person, 12, 13, 14 years old, might die without the Lord and face that judgment. And make no mistake, no matter what people say on TV, no matter what kind of little movies and little clips they make of some kind of a limbo or purgatory or some kind of a second chance or somebody perhaps praying you on to heaven, it's not going to be that way.
No.
However you die is exactly how you're going to meet the Lord. It's lost or saved. There's no in-between.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it does. It bothers me. It grieves me in my soul to think that young people, very, very young people, children, close their eyes in death and lifted up their heads and opened their eyes in torment.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's a great tragedy. You know, oftentimes we as Christians, sometimes we get the different kind of thoughts about things. You think about someone who's lived 70 years of their life and has committed all kind of wicked atrocities and never came to know the Lord. You know, I don't want anybody to go to hell. But it would appear sometimes we think, well, if anybody was going to go, a fellow like this deserves it.
Yeah.
And of course, we don't want anyone to go.
Amen.
But I want you to think of the tragedy of a young person, a very, very young person, any person, but someone whose life was cut, what we would consider very short. To die in that lost condition. That's not something we like to think about, is it?
No.
Some little kid.
Yeah.
Life cut short in a car accident, maybe. Perhaps some kind of childhood disease. It's horrible to think about that. But they're accountable. It doesn't matter if you're 12 or 120. When you realize the difference between good and evil, and you realize that you're lost and separated from God, you better get busy.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, you can get on I've got a phone app for the Bible, and I can just look up judgment. And there are so many different scriptures that bring up the coming judgment. It's a big deal.
Amen.
It's not something to be taken lightly. It's something that's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's only two kinds of people that goes to heaven. Saved people and very, very young children who are still under the watch, care, and protection of the Lord because they haven't realized the difference between good and evil. That's it.
Yeah.
Everybody else goes straight to hell.
Yeah.
There's no second chances. I'll tell you something. You can have wonderful family members. You can have good and godly parents or grandparents, and they can pour their hearts out to God for you, and they can pray for you, and you can have a good, godly church. You can have a wonderful church family of people who love you very much. People who are close to God in their walk. People who are close to God in every aspect of their life. And they can get on their hands and knees, and they can pour their hearts out for you. But if you don't make things right with God, everybody else's prayers won't do you any good.
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
Man.
You know, people, especially my generation, they come up with some strange things. I seen some kind of quote the other day. It said, life is not about the destination. It's about the journey. Many people my age seem to think that life is just something for us to enjoy. It's just something for us to really experience and live to the fullest by worldly standards. But the afterlife is all about the destination.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, people. 60, 70, 80 years here in good times. With a good life. It means absolutely nothing when it's over with and you die unprepared to meet the Lord.
Right,
man. You know, we heard earlier this week about the rich man and Lazarus and about how the rich man fared sumptuously throughout his life. He had great things, great worldly things, a big home. He ate the finest of foods. No doubt he wore very nice clothing. He lived what we would consider a good worldly life. He had a great quality of life. And Lazarus begged of the crumbs of his tables. It said that he had sores and the dogs would come and lick his sores. He received a very, very tough, evil life, if you will. I mean, he received a bad life. And both of them died.
Yeah.
And that rich man, he opened up his eyes in great torment.
Yeah.
And Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
Yeah, right.
After reading that, you can't even begin to tell me that life's about the, not, you know, that life's not about the journey, but the destination.
Yeah.
It's all about the destination.
Yeah.
It's all about eternity. And I'll tell you something else. That rich man is no better off today than he was the day that he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That man's still wailing in torment.
Yeah.
Brother Carter, he brought the good news this week. Mm-hmm. Brother Inslee Wright, he brought some bad news. I'm bringing bad news. But I've also got good news.
Yeah.
I've got good news, because this final judgment day, it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. That last trump hasn't sounded. There's still time.
Yeah.
There's still time. But people need to get their priorities right. Lost Man. People. You don't need to be worrying about school if you're lost. Now, I'm not telling you not to do your homework. I don't want no parents getting mad at me. But I'm telling you, it needs to be priority number one. Priority number one. That you make peace with God.
Amen.
Amen.
What a tragedy. What a great tragedy to die without knowing Him.
I'll do it.
You know, I get kind of tickled. We've got a tremendous portion of our population today. They make a living by selling insurance. They'll insure your cars, your homes. You can insure, if you've got a safe at home with firearms, you can insure that. They'll insure your farm. They sell all kind of policies. health insurance, life insurance. I mean, there's just a policy for everything. Yeah, they have cancer policies. People buy this insurance in the event, in the unlikely event, they're going to need it. Earthquake policies. Most people's homes aren't covered for earthquakes. I know you're wondering how this has relevance to the gospel, but people purchase earthquake insurance, and it's highly, highly, highly unlikely that your home is ever going to be damaged by an earthquake. But insurance companies sell it, and people purchase it. Cancer. It's real.
Yeah.
It's aggressive. It's affected no telling how many families in this church, if not all of them. Not everybody's going to face it, but plenty will. Not everybody's going to have a car accident. Not everybody's home is going to be lost to a fire. Not everybody's home is going to be ripped apart by a tornado. But everybody's going to stand in front of God.
Amen.
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 You know, it's awful silly to me that people go out and they do all these different insurance things to protect themselves from all these different events that may never happen to them, and so many people neglect the one thing that is absolutely coming to them.
Amen.
Amen.
And to beat it all doesn't cost you a dime.
Yeah.
All right.
What a sad day to not know the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not just sad on the day of judgment. But anybody that's lost, anybody that's walking around not saved, I'm telling you, you're gambling.
Yeah.
You're gambling with your soul.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about being a good steward, about being responsible over the things that God puts in your charge. Well, every person is the steward over their own soul. And it is a very foolish and very wicked thing to gamble with that soul.
Yes, it is.
You can't afford to lose this one.
Amen. Oh,
yeah. You know, if you lose a $5 hand of poker, it's not that big a deal. You can make it back. If you lose your soul, you'll pay for that forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
amen.
Ever.
Man.
That rich man, he's still paying for that today. He's not found any comfort.
Amen.
Abraham hasn't let Lazarus dip his finger in a little water to comfort him since this Bible was written. There's no comfort.
Amen.
Only suffering. It doesn't make any difference if you die an older person in your bed with all your children and grandchildren around you, and you slip peacefully on to the next life, or if you die in the most violent, painful, tragic way possible. If you know the Lord, nothing matters after that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, I've heard it said many a times that for those of us who know the Lord, this life is the only hell we'll ever face.
Yeah.
And some of us have pretty good lives. I'm a very, very happy man. I'm a very blessed man. I don't deserve. I've got a lovely family, a lovely little girl. I'm very grateful. I don't deserve this. But it doesn't matter what happens to me in my life. Because when I die, be so much better.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean it. So be it. I mean, I'll miss my family. I'll miss my friends. I'll miss my church family. But I've got something better to go to.
Right.
And I don't have something better to go to because I deserved it. I could stand up here all night and I can tell myself and I can tell you why I don't deserve it. But I can also tell you that I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God had mercy on wicked people like me.
Amen.
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 I feel like I measured so short. I don't feel like I deserve to be standing in a pulpit. You know, it's a privilege. I've just recently started to feel like it's a privilege to preach.
Yeah.
It's something that for years, and even tonight, I almost get sick over it.
Yeah.
To have to stand up, some lowlife like me.
Yeah.
Some wicked lowlife. Bring the good news. Bring the bad news. Bring the word of God, whatever he lays on my heart. I'm not worthy. But you know, when I look at my life, look at my family, my salvation, I've got a roof over my head and shoes on my feet. If I can do anything, no matter how small, bring him just a little of the honor and glory that he so well deserves. So well deserves. I hope I do good for him.
Yeah.
I love him.
Amen.
And although I'll face that judgment someday, and I'm dreading it, to have to stand before a perfect and righteous judge and give an account of every wicked thing that I've ever done, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pleasant. Jesus is going to tell him, Daddy, that was mine. He's not much, but he's mine. That's my great hope in the afterlife.
Yeah.
That's my great hope. I won't go to heaven because I'm a good guy. I won't go to heaven for any good works that somebody might think that I'll do. I'll go because of unmerited love.
Right.
Facing the judgment, even for a low life like me, isn't a big deal when I've got Jesus on my side.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter how good you think you are, how good of a life you think you've lived. If Jesus hasn't spoke peace to your heart and told you it's okay, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not going to ask anybody here where they stand. We all know where we stand. If we don't know, we can pray about it. The good Lord will show us.
Yeah.
He's not the author of confusion.
That's right.
But we need to get ready.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to make this priority number one.
Amen.
Because when that last trump sounds and the clouds roll apart, and here comes Jesus, that's it.
That's
right. I mean, the clocks might as well stop because time is no more. The door of mercy is shut. And you don't want to find yourself on the wrong side of eternity without the Lord.
Right.
I went to a funeral yesterday. Well, I guess the visitation for the funeral started. I went to the... paid my respects to an old friend of the family, a lady who passed away. She was 89 years old. She was a good woman. She used to fix me and my brother just the best banana bread you could ever imagine. Lived right next door to me growing up. She was like a second grandmother. I never saw that woman do anything wrong. I was around her 15, 20 years of my life. Just good as gold. As I laid there and I looked at her, man, for 89, she looked good. She stood before the Lord. As good as she was. She wasn't like our faith. I hate to admit this, but I don't really know where she stood. She's in the hands of a just God. And she sure lived like she knew the Lord, and I hope she did. I really do. She was a fine woman. She lived to be 89 years old. She was raking leaves had a stroke, fell over, bumped her head real bad, and they had to put her on life support. 89 years old and able to get out and rake leaves. That's a good life. But it doesn't matter whether you make it to 89 or 9. If you die lost, it's hell to pay.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's a debt you don't want.
Yeah.
There's not any second chances, people.
Amen.
This life, this day, this opportunity, that's it.
Yeah.
You better make that peace now.
Amen. Amen.
I'm very grateful for this opportunity to be with y'all tonight. It's been a good week. I've really been blessed by everything I've heard this week. And I know this might sound weird, but I like being in a tent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the closer we are to grass and dirt, the closer we can feel to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's His. Mm-hmm. He made it, spoke it into existence.
Yeah.
Amen. We're just that much closer to Him by being on His ground. But it's been good to be here with y'all. I love you. If there's anybody here that's lost, you better get with it.
Yeah.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Better get with it.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't make any difference how good you've been, how good you think you've been. We're all going to stand in front of the judge and want a far greater authority than any in this life.
Amen.
Yep.
I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Miller. But you think about that. You ask yourself, am I where I need to be, or am I in danger?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Strode, let's sing.